Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Gore, the public order unit, is in situ outside the former Crown Paints factory in Coolock following earlier disturbances at the property earmarked for the housing of international protection applicants. A number of fires were lit and machinery set on fire this afternoon. Several people have been arrested. For the very latest, let's go to our reporter Barry Lenehan now, who's in Coolock. Barry, what's the scene there this evening?
Well, within the past half hour, Cormac, Gardaí have cleared the vicinity here in Coolock outside the former Crown's paint factory, which is earmarked for the accommodation of 500 international protection applicants. Several members of the Garda Public Order Unit, between 30 and 40, arriving here at 4 o'clock and clearing the area of the 150 to 200 people who were still here after those earlier disturbances this morning and indeed overnight. The Garda Public Order Unit, they arrived at around 2 o'clock or so. They used pepper spray. Several arrests were made. Many youths here as well, people who are gathering, throwing missiles, throwing fireworks at the Gardaí as well, and setting several bins on fire and hurtling them towards those, towards the Garda cordon outside the property. Now, the Department of Integration saying that work was due to begin here today to accommodate those international protection applicants, but those tense scenes throughout the afternoon after those disturbances earlier on as well. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, things clear. Just to set the scene for you, the site is just off the main Malahide Road here in Coolock. The road had been closed through the morning and through the afternoon after those scenes earlier on. But now the road reopened once again as Gardaí trying to get a bit of normality here again. As I say, approximately between 30 and 40 members of the Public Order Unit arriving just a half an hour ago and clearing the area now. Now, there is talk that further people might gather later this evening here, so it's unclear as to the trajectory of the evening, but right now calm has been restored here in Coolock.
And that's the situation as you see it there now. What's known, Barry, about the timeline of events earlier today?
Well, the Dublin City Council, its joint policing committee, it had heard that a criminal element had been embedded in protests here in Coolock. There have been protests here outside the crowd Paints factory for quite some time. Coolock says no, the group, but they had set up a makeshift camp blocking entrance, blocking access to the site that was earmarked for the asylum seekers. Now, that camp was cleared overnight, and that may perhaps have been a trigger for what had happened earlier on. Now, there were scenes earlier on, one security personnel, we think, carried out injured with projectiles and missiles thrown in at the site from those who had gathered outside whilst people were shouting get them out, whilst that member of the security personnel was carried out from the site. Now, Dublin Fire Brigade, it had sent several units here as well earlier on after those fires, but again, as I say, calm seems to have been restored here now.
Any reaction, Barry, to the disturbances there?
Several local councillors have condemned the scenes here, and you could probably hear overhead the a Garda helicopter still overhead surveying the scene here. But the Sinn Féin councillor, Dahi Doolan, he said he was aware of one individual who'd been acting as an ambassador for the protest, whom is what he termed a convicted drug dealer, and whom had, quote, previously boasted of flooding Ireland with drugs. He said the same individual has a political pedigree through involvement with the extremist British National Party. Now, the Department of Integration, it had said that work was only beginning today to prepare the site for the arrival of 500 international protection applicants, and that it would take several weeks for that work to be completed. It said that the protests here, the makeshift camp, had delayed work for several months to prepare the site for the arrival of those, whilst the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, she said she was appalled at the criminal behaviour here earlier on this afternoon in Coolock, and that she had spoken with the Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris, who she said had assured everything will be done to bring those responsible to justice. And as I say, several arrests already made here this afternoon, but again, unclear as to how the rest of the evening will progress.
Okay, Barry Lanahan at the scene there in Coolock. Thank you very much indeed.
And as you heard there in the news headlines, a number of people have been arrested amid disturbances in Coolock in Dublin at the site of the former Crown Paints factory, which is due to be developed for international protection applicants. As we heard earlier in the programme from our reporter Barry Lanahan, the Garda Public Order Unit was deployed and incapacitant spray was used. A number of fires were lit and machinery set on fire earlier this afternoon. Well, for some reaction to all of this, we're joined by Fine Gael Senator Barry Ward, Sinn Féin Dublin City Councillor Micheál MacDonica, and criminologist and host of the Real Lives Untold podcast, Trina O'Connor. And Trina, I might come to yourself first. As I said, the site has been identified for international protection applicants, and I think locals have been aware of that for quite some time now. What were the local concerns in advance of what we saw this afternoon?
So I suppose some of the concerns that people have is access to services for themselves, like access to housing or access to medical care and social services. And they're also, I suppose, in a lot of ways, worried about the numbers coming in and what they will have to do in the area. Will they have access to services? Like, will they have access to jobs? Will they have people there that can look after them? And there's issues around that, I suppose, with the people that have been camping up there over the last period of months also feel that they haven't been listened to, that they're concerned citizens, and they have arguments that hold weight amongst many disenfranchised groups in Ireland, and they feel that nobody's coming to talk to them. And that's one of the biggest things that we're hearing from people there.
And I don't know, do you know, is it a feeling that nobody's coming to talk to them, or is it that nobody is coming to talk to them? Because I know the government says that that there has been some engagement with local councillors and government representatives.
Yeah, I think obviously there has been engagement, but I think the group, the Coolock Says No group themselves, I think they're the ones that are saying that nobody has engaged with them. And I don't know either way whether anybody has engaged with them, but I know the resources in the area because I work in the area and I know they have reached out. But I do think we do need a conversation that includes all concerned voices, because sometimes we engage with people when they're easier to engage with. Actually, the ones that are more difficult to engage with are the ones that we need to bring into the conversation. We need to bring them in and you know, talk to them about the fact that, I suppose, we need to check our own privilege that we live in a peaceful country. And we also need to look at how violence affects everybody, and this type of violence that we're seeing, the young people that are being affected by that, and the stigma that it's bringing to the area as well. A lot of people who live in that area are not, I suppose, these people don't speak for them. So it's quite troubling, I think, for a lot of people living in the area that they're being represented in this way also. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't speak to the groups. Mm. We have to listen to people. We have to listen to, you know, lived experiences of people. And we have to listen to people's fears. But we also have to deal with the online stuff that's going on. Because there's a lot of false stories out there that are being fed to people through algorithms. And I suppose in the absence, Sarah, of clear and correct information, others will fill that void, particularly on social media, with blatantly untrue stories. So that's stoking up a lot of fears. And this kind of rhetoric really happens when you've got fear, and that is what's at the core of this, and that's causing the division between people, and that's the arguments against asylum seekers. It's the fear that people have.
Can I just ask you finally, Trina, in terms of the services, and as you say, you work in the area, what is your knowledge or sense of the extent to which services, like, for example, medical care, social services, are stretched or not?
Oh, yeah, they are stretched, absolutely, particularly mental health services, youth mental health services. They're very much stressed, but there's a lot of really good work done in the area by the Northside Partnership, Spear 17, Preparing for Life, all of these different organisations. But again, and I've spoken to you before about this, Sarah, it's the way the funding is done for a lot of these, that they don't know year on year whether they're going to have funding. Yeah. And particularly with the mental health services for young people, that kind of engagement is so, so important, because that keeps young people away from the clutches of these people that want to, I suppose, give them kinship by being part of a group. And that really fosters division in society. It's okay. Not good for the unity.
Trina O'Connor, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Now we're going to go to Micheál MacDonica, who's a Sinn Féin Dublin City Councillor. And Micheál, you're welcome to the programme. What's your reaction to what we saw this afternoon?
Well, it was absolutely deplorable what we saw. First of all, the blockade that had been ongoing to prevent work on the site, but then to see it escalated with an arson attack, intimidation of people. We understand one man was injured, was taken away in an ambulance. Then the clashes with Gardaí and so on, missiles thrown. Totally deplorable and totally to be condemned. They're criminal acts.
What could have been done or should have been done in your view to avoid this, or could this have been avoided?
Well, there are two aspects to this. First of all, and Triana touched on it there, there are a small minority, tiny minority really, of far-right groups and individuals who are fostering and stoking up fear in communities, not only in this area, but all around the country. And they are primarily responsible for where we have seen acts of violence and intimidation, because they have...
We may have lost Micheál's line there. Micheál, are you still with us? No, I don't think he is. So we may go to Barry Ward, who is also listening. And Barry, thank you very much for joining us. I might just briefly get your reaction to the scenes we've witnessed today.
Yeah, I mean, like Micheál there, I think what's happened there is deplorable. I don't think it's representative of most people. But I think what's most important is I've been critical of the department in the past for not engaging with communities. But my understanding is that there was engagement in this case. And people need to understand that engagement and information is one thing, but they will never have a veto over these facilities going into a local area. They certainly are entitled to information, but not to decide that it can't happen there. And anybody who thinks that they make the sole decisions about who comes and lives in their area is absolutely wrong. Mm. So I think it's really important that the Gardaí are on top of this. And I've seen what the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, has said about the Gardaí using the full force of the law to deal with people who are involved in this criminality.
We did get a statement from the department, and they said the department's community engagement team has engaged with local public representatives in relation to the site of Coolock. Now, the point that Trina O'Connor was making is that you need to speak to other people too. For example, that group Coolock Says No, who, as she said, they might be the more difficult people to have a conversation with. And I don't know anybody from Coolock Says No, but people who have other concerns outside of local representatives, you need to speak to those as well.
Yeah, I was listening to Trina and I don't disagree with her, but the first stop is local representatives. They are the people who very recently were elected to represent the community in Coolock. And you don't know who's coming into other groups. I know myself from objections I've seen in other areas that there have been lots of people from outside the area who are coming to stoke up opposition rather than being bona fide local residents who have legitimate concerns. The starting point has to be elected representatives who represent the community and have a mandate from the community. And they are ones who are very well place to communicate with local groups, as opposed to groups that might be set up on an ad hoc basis simply to oppose something or to stir up trouble. And I'm not saying that about Coolock Says No. Mm. I don't know them either.
Yeah.
But I think it is important that we go to the elected reps first, because they have the mandate.
Okay, so just to be clear then, are you saying the government did everything right in this instance, in your view?
Well, I mean, my understanding is there was engagement and that they did speak to local reps. There's only so much the department can do, and you will engage with groups who are implacably opposed to something being built in their area. And as I say, it's right to engage with them. It's not right to give them a veto. So the department can only do so much. At the end of the day, when you see this kind of criminality, that's exactly what it is. And let's not try to shift the blame onto other groups for the bad behaviour of another group. So okay. The department can always do more.
All right.
We can always throw more resources at it.
We have Micheál McDonagh back on the line, and I think you heard there, Micheál, what Barry Ward has to say in relation to this. And what do you think of that?
Well, I think that there is a fault in my view in the government's approach to this whole issue. I think the model of provision of accommodation centres that has been used has been far from fit for purpose. And this is one of the things that has caused difficulties all around the country. The government is now saying in recent times that they're going to move towards a more state-provided, more structured approach. Mm. And that, unfortunately, that should have happened a long time ago. None of that excuses what happened today in Coolock. And it's very important to say that this does not represent the community. It doesn't represent the community that we as public representatives are very proud to represent.
Sure, and I understand that. And Trina was making that point as well. But what Barry Ward is saying and what the department is saying is that they did engage with local representatives in relation to this site. So is there anything else they could have done here?
Yes, there was engagement with elected representatives, and that's important in the first instance. We did, the elected representatives did call for wider consultation at grassroots level in the community, community
by
leaders
whom?
And so on at local level. Primarily by the department, because the department is the agency that's establishing the centres. They need to explain to the community what is happening. They need the information out there. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened. As I said, that is not to in any way excuse what has happened today, by no means. But we need a better structure, a better system, and communication.
Okay.
And as Triana said, those who wish to spread disinformation and so on, they thrive on a vacuum of information.
And I want
so
to come
it's
back
very
to
important
you,
that is filled.
Barry Ward, on that point, because this has been a theme, hasn't it, for the last 2 years, the communications or lack thereof when it comes to the department. I know in this specific case, the department is saying a team went in and spoke to local reps, but in the bigger picture, still no communications plan from the government. I mean, we heard even just last April from Green Party Minister, your colleague, Joe O'Brien, giving out about the fact that a communications plan hadn't been developed. He said it's been floating around in the Department of the Taoiseach, but it hasn't been moving and no one has a good explanation as to why. A couple of months later, still no sign of it.
Well, Sarah, I've also been critical of the department in this regard, but in this instance, the information was there. They did engage with the local reps. So you'd have to wonder how much they can do. And when Micheál talks
about... just to be clear about what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a wider communications plan about telling people in a proactive way about why immigration can and could be good for this country. You know, things like that.
Yeah,
as opposed to specific incidences about, you know, there's a centre coming in your local area. This is a wider national communications plan. No sign of it.
Yeah, I agree. And as we all know, there has been huge pressure, unprecedented pressure on Ireland in terms of the people who are coming here seeking our protection and whom we want to protect when we can and when we should. Of course, there should be a plan. And as you, I know you understand, Sarah, like there is huge pressure on the department. And I'm happy if they provided the information locally.
It's the Department
the
of the Taoiseach
locally,
now. It's the Department of the Taoiseach that's meant to be
it's all departments. Ultimately, integration specifically falls under one department, but the Taoiseach has responsibility over
No, the communications plan, just to be specific, because
yes,
Joe Brien just
I
answered
know.
The question on this just last month in the Dáil. He said the communications plan is with the Department of the Taoiseach. Now, do you have any explanations why we haven't seen it?
The Taoiseach's department coordinates the activities of a number of different departments, and while he has overall responsibility for the communications plan, it's something that has to be drawn upon from a number of different departments. Simon Harris is behind the idea that plan would be in place, but the first step has to be to providing that information on a local level, and that's what did happen in this case. And in fact, if you look at the programme that's been developed in Coolock here, you're taking a vacant commercial building and repurposing it to house people seeking asylum. That is exactly the kind of thing that we should be doing. Buildings that are not otherwise being used, that don't create other pressures, being used for this purpose. So it has worked in that regard, and as I say, you cannot defend criminality when that's all it is in real terms.
Micheál McDonagh, I just want to come back to you just briefly in terms of what we can expect in the future from Sinn Féin on this, because we heard from Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald over the weekend that she believes that the party failed to have the backs of Sinn Féin supporters and to listen to their concerns on immigration, and that's going to change, and there's going to be a new immigration plan from Sinn Féin in the next 10 days, we're told. And yet we see in like successive polls that it's Sinn Féin supporters who show the toughest line when it comes to immigration. 70% of them want to see a more closed policy. They want very strict limits on arrivals. Is that what we can expect in 10 days' time to see from Sinn Féin?
Well, our position is firmly based on human rights. It's based on international law, and it's based on compassion for those who are seeking asylum and seeking international protection in this country. So there's no question of a so-called hard line or anything of the sort. Our position, as we have outlined, will be fleshed out, and that's the point of the policy document, to make it clear how we would handle these issues. We've said that in many respects, the government's approach has not been fit for purpose. It hasn't been either for the asylum seekers or for communities. For example, the length of time it takes to deal with the applications from asylum seekers is, you know, crazy in terms of months and years in many cases.
So that's what we can
all
expect.
Of these issues need to be dealt with.
All right, Micheál McDonagh and Barry Ward, thank you both for joining us.
Now returning to Coolock this evening, and a reporter Barry Lenehan is standing by, where a number of people have been arrested amid disturbances at the site of the former Crown Paints factory, which is due to be developed for international protection applicants. What's the latest there this evening, Barry?
Well, around 15 people remain at the nearest access point to the old Crown's paint factory here in Coolock on the Malahide Road at the moment. Now, earlier on social media, people had advertised, including some well-known far-right activists, to gather again here at 6 o'clock in protest over those plans to house up to 550 international protection applicants here. A crowd of between 150 and 200 gathered at that point at around 6 o'clock, but extra members of the Garda Public Order Unit came on site and escorted the gathering crowd down the Malahide Road here and away from the site of where we saw those disturbances earlier. Now, earlier there was petrol bombs thrown at Gardaí, a mattress was set on fire. I can still see a fire smouldering here to my right here when a bin was set on fire as well, whilst the remnants of a firework that was thrown at Gardaí is away to my left here as well. Gardaí had six public order units deployed here, and they came at around 4 o'clock and dispersed the crowd that had gathered. Many just onlookers, young children, families, teenagers. Of course, this is the summer holidays as well. And now one person was injured earlier and remains in hospital, believed to be a member of the security personnel on the site. And Gardaí here in full protective equipment. They've created a cordon stopping people getting close to the premises that's earmarked for the international protection applicants. But at this stage, a sense of calm seems to have been restored here on the Malahide Road.
Okay, road closure is still in place, Barry.
Road closure is still in place. The road had reopened for a very short time there earlier on, for approximately 25 minutes or so. But road closures remain in place. As I say, there's around 15 to 20 people still gathered at the nearest access point, and up to around a dozen to 50 Gardaí in full protective equipment stopping people walking, and indeed stopping vehicles getting up as well. But those road closures still in place and creating quite the traffic quagmire around the area.
Okay, Barry Lenehan in Coolock, thank you very much indeed.